Pharmacies in England are being allowed to dispense some prescription medicines without the need to consult a doctor. It's to try to free up doctors' time. The government's calling this initiative Pharmacy First. It starts with the contraceptive pill in December, and then some other medicines will be added at the end of January. It happens already in Scotland and Wales, but not yet in Northern Ireland. James Davies speaks for pharmacists in England. He's the director of their professional body, the Royal Pharmaceutical Society. James Davies, welcome and thanks for coming on. Would you just take us through then this full list of medicines that pharmacists in England are going to be able to prescribe soon?
Yes, so this is the Pharmacy First service in England, which is going to be a real game changer. It's going to improve access to healthcare and advice for patients, and as you mentioned, it's going to reduce some strain on other parts of the NHS. Now, this starts with access to contraceptive pills. So this means that the women who need to access contraception can go into a pharmacy, speak to a pharmacist, and be initiated onto a contraceptive pill. And from sort of the end of January, early February next year, there's a series of seven other conditions that will be covered. So these include some of the common things that people are already coming into pharmacies with, but pharmacists don't have or aren't able to prescribe for at the moment. So these are things like sinusitis, sore throats, infected insect bites, impetigo, shingles, and also uncomplicated urinary tract infections for women.
How much will the pharmacist be paid to take part?
So the pharmacist will be paid for, depending on the service, they'll be paid for the consultation that takes place. It'll be around about £15 per service, depending on exactly what it is and how it happens. And there's a sort of a graded scale for making that to work.
A lot of people will know that their local pharmacy is already really busy. You know, they'll stand there queuing. Do you know how many pharmacists, what proportion will even want to do this?
So this is an opt-in service. So the pharmacies will be able to choose on a location by location basis where they want to offer this service. But there's a lot of support within the pharmacy profession to take on doing this. These are sort of things that commonly appear at the counter in many pharmacies, and actually having an NHS funded service to be able to treat patients is really key, and something that as a profession we're very keen to see more of.
Will the pharmacist be able to see your medical records?
So as part of the rollout of Pharmacy First, there is going to be enhanced digital integration between community pharmacies and general practice, which means that the pharmacist will be able to see more of the record, and we'll also be able to share a digital message directly following a consultation into the GP record, so that GPs also know that these things have happened and so that they're aware of what's going on.
And how does it work then in practice? Will I have to just phone to book an appointment with a local pharmacist in the way I would currently have to try and book an appointment to see my GP?
So it will vary, but in most cases, patients will walk into the pharmacy, as you do at the moment, and ask to speak to the pharmacist. Now, you may have to wait 5-10 minutes to be able to access the service as we're treating other patients. We've got other appointments that are going on. But the idea is that you'll be able to go in there and get access to the service fairly quickly. Now, in some cases, it may be that GPs, urgent referral centres, 111, might also refer you directly into a pharmacy to be able to access these services.
Well, the Doctors' Union, the British Medical Association, has some concerns about this. Dr. Katie Bramall-Stainer chairs their GP committee, and she sent us this recorded statement.
Pharmacists and their teams support many GP practices against a backdrop of huge workload and workforce pressures across primary care. So it's welcome news to see this new initiative through Pharmacy First for minor illnesses and ailments. Fundamentally, as helpful as this will be, we've got to be honest, it's a drop in the ocean as far as patient demand is concerned. And it also risks fracturing continuity of care because, guess what? We're human. We like to try people out. So someone I might treat for a bladder infection, for example, might then feel able to come back and see me again to tell me about the blood in their poo or postmenopausal bleeding, which could signify something much more serious is going on. And that's where patients prefer to see somebody that they know and they trust on a repeated basis. Obviously, we recognise the clinical skills of pharmacists in providing care, but a pharmacist isn't a substitute for a GP, and nor should they be expected to be. No one should work beyond their areas of capability, competence and safety.
So that's what Dr. Katie Bramall-Stainer from the GPs Committee of the BMA thinks about it. James Davis, how do you respond to what she said?
So I think what Katie mentioned there was about how pharmacists are able to support their clinical profession that is in their place to be able to support in certain conditions. Now, this is not a free-for-all for every condition that's out there. This is for seven conditions that pharmacists are used to seeing. And we're not expected to be a substitute for a GP. We have got a lot of experience in being able to identify red flags, understand those kind of things that patients might describe that we go, actually, this isn't something that we're able to treat. We work within our competence and within the sort of safety limits that are available to us. So we can then refer people on if we do have particular concerns.
That will be a difficult thing, won't it, for the pharmacist to decide, because it's such a debate at the moment, isn't it? On the one hand, we want to draw on other professionals because we've got too few GPs. And then on the other hand, when things go wrong, people are understandably very, very devastated by that. Won't the temptation be, if you're a pharmacist, to flip a lot of these people back, just back to the GP?
So I think pharmacists are already day in, day out as the front door of the NHS, treating lots of patients with the medications that we're able to provide and sell over the counter today. What the service does is it provides a wider range of tools in the arsenal to help support those patients. I'm sure many of your listeners are aware, they've been into pharmacies, they've asked questions, they're used to the teams in the pharmacy asking them questions about their health to be able to make sure that we're giving the right medications in a safe and effective way. So it will be using those questions, understanding what's going on to be able to best direct people and give them the access to the treatment that they need.
Some GPs think this money would have been much better spent by them in surgeries, hiring in other specialists. What do you think?
So I would like to see further investment in pharmacy, and I'd like to see further investment in general practice. I don't think it's a question about whether it goes to one profession or the other. I think it's about raising the overall investment in healthcare overall.
James Davis from the British Pharmaceutical Society. Thank you.